Hi everyone, I'm Andy.
And I'm Allie.
And welcome back for another episode of Marianne and Wanda, your book club and media podcast. Yes. What has been new on the island?
New on the island? Truly not a lot. I've been waiting on some filters to come in and they've just been on back order and the manufacturer won't ship them and that's pretty upsetting. I made some enchiladas last night that I was really excited to try and make, and I don't really like them that much, which is a little upsetting because I ate one last night and there's 8 of them total.
You got some more to eat or give away.
Yeah, well, I put 4 of them in the freezer because I was like, I just can't deal with you right now. And now I've got 3 more I'm staring down this week that I'm pretty upset about, but.
Why didn't they taste good?
I don't know. It's just like not that good. I think the chicken should have been shredded instead of cubed, but I didn't listen to my instincts on that one. Mm. That's like the biggest thing, I think. What's new with you? What have you guys been up to?
So Adam has been out of town since Thursday night. He went up to Indiana to go hunting. So it's just been me and Lil Rosie hanging out.
Aww.
We went to Halloween on the Square in Lebanon yesterday. Not that great. Not impressed.
Okay.
Yeah. It was too hot and way too many kids there for not that many booths of businesses set up to give out candy. So there was like a huge line all the way around the square. It was like standing in line for an amusement park. Like, you would move a couple feet and stop, move a couple feet and stop. And I asked one of the people at the booth, like, is this the line to trick-or-treat all the different businesses? And they were like, yeah, can you believe this? So we made it about halfway around the square, and then Rosie was done. So she didn't want to stand still that long.
Yeah, I understand, Rosie. I don't blame you.
Yeah, I've been to that in the past, though, and I don't remember there being a line. Like, everybody just kind of went to all the different booths to trick-or-treat, and then, I don't know, they had some, like, kids' activities to do if they wanted, but I don't remember. It was bad, just, like, standing in a line.
Mm.
So, not great. But she did get to color her pumpkin yesterday, so she enjoyed that. I didn't really feel like getting out all the paint. So I just got all the markers out and she colored it in the living room on her little table. She colored all the mostly dark colors because they showed up the best. And then we put it on the porch and then it rained yesterday or mostly today and it washed all the color off.
Oh. That just means she gets to do it again if she wants to.
Yeah, I don't think she noticed.
Aw, poor Rosie.
Yeah, and she has her Halloween party tomorrow at school. They're supposed to wear their costumes to school. She's not going to wear it.
Aw. Yeah. Well, okay. I'm going to wear mine. So tell her that if she, like, puts up a fuss.
Yeah, peer pressure.
Yeah, peer pressure her.
Yeah.
My sister and her husband and my nephew dressed up as Bob Ross and like a couple trees, and it was pretty cute. They just like got some pine needles from the backyard or from the park and just like attached them to Lou in a green outfit. We're like, okay, this is this costume. But I love it.
Creative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, did you see who died yesterday?
Yeah.
Matthew Perry. Do you know why I'm bringing him up?
No.
You remember that time I won that radio contest for Name That Perry?
No, I won it. I remember that. I forgot about it until you said that. But it was me who won it. I called in and won, and I took you to the concert.
You did not call in. I'm the one who called in. Okay. I was on the line because you were driving at the time. Because we were in Gallatin.
I have a conflicting memory of this, but either way, yes, that was the correct answer to the question, and we won tickets.
Yes. You said it out loud, and so you claimed that you knew the answer, and I wouldn't have gotten otherwise, but I'd also seen all of Friends at that point, so I dispute that. So this is why it's up in air, but yeah, I just... That reminded me of that contest.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, what are we reviewing today?
Well, you suggested that we watch Cruella. the 2021 version. Well, I guess there's only one Cruella, but 2021. Well, yeah.
But you've never seen it before, this, right?
That is correct. I had always meant to, because I've always really loved Cruella DeVille as a character.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I didn't until yesterday.
Yeah, I've only seen it once, and that was when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But not since then. But I like knowing that, like, Disney's starting to give the villains a backstory.
Yeah, like with Maleficent and this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it a lot, too. I'm glad you liked it. Do you want to give a quick summary?
Yes. So, it turns out Cruella is not Cruella's name. Turns out her name was Estella. And she's a feisty young girl who has big plans to become a fashion designer when her life is uprooted. She's kicked out of school, and as they're moving to London, her mother dies by being pushed off a cliff by 3 Dalmatians. And Estella, who was on the run from them at the time, is convinced that it was her fault completely. She runs away to London, where she and a pair of fellow street youths turn henchmen, Horace and Jasper, con their way around town. They even con Estella into a job at Baroness von Helmond's fashion company, or her storefront, and then later into her fashion company, House of Baroness. And so we sort of follow Estella, whose nickname was Cruella when she was younger, as she finds out the truth about her mother's death and brings down the Baroness's house around her. And yeah, like I said, I really liked it. So
I'm glad. Anything with Emma Stone is good.
Well, anything with Emma Thompson is really good.
Yeah, I will say that I don't know why I didn't even connect that was Emma Thompson at first until I was watching the credits, and then I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, so Emma Stone played Estella / Cruella, and Emma Thompson played the Baroness.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she really knocked it out of town. And I love her, like, in everything else I've seen her in, like, Love Actually comes to mind most readily, but she really played a great villain in this one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was released May 28th, 2021. And I don't know if you remember, but I remember there being a huge hype around the ability to stream on Disney since COVID had shut down all the theaters. Like, mm-hmm. I remember watching this. It must have been a couple days after it came out, but we watched it at our friend's house, and they had Disney Plus, and you could pay, I think it was like $25 or $30 to watch it then, just streaming through the Disney app, instead of going to a theater. And then it later became available on Disney Plus, just like normally for anybody to watch. But we watched it there at their house because they had an infant, so they didn't want to go to a theater. Plus COVID, everybody was still not comfortable going to theaters. But yeah. I remember there being a lot of hype around, like, you can stream it on Disney. This is like, I don't know if it was the first one, but the first big movie.
I remember just being annoyed by that because they were charging so much more to just watch it on Disney, which, like, made sense again, because if you guys had gone to the movie theater, it would have cost you way more than $25 for a lot of you.
Right.
But at the same time, like, a lot of you probably wouldn't have gone to go see, I don't know. I just remember being annoyed about that and wishing it had just been straight for all Disney Plus members, but.
Yeah, I think so too. But yeah, it was also one of the first major red carpet events post-COVID. Like, once everything from COVID kind of, not settled down, but just wasn't as,
like, major. Post-vaccine, really.
Yeah. It was, like, the first major red carpet event, according to Wikipedia. Yep, and it had a $100 million budget, and it grossed $233.5 million, which, when I was doing some research on it, it seems like $233.5 million, they considered it to be a flop. Like, I don't know, I guess they expected it to make way more. To me, that's a lot of money, but...
Well, did you... So, what I read was that the budget was anywhere between 100 to 200 million and that they'd never really released the details on it.
Oh.
And then I didn't read anywhere where how much they had made. So, do you know if that grossed number includes, like, their Disney Plus early subscription people.
I think what I read said that 233.5 million was everything excluding roughly 25 million that they also were going to account for with the Disney streams. But I don't know if that, like, the people like me who paid extra through the Disney app to watch it, like, when it came out, or if that was somehow a different calculation. But it was something regarding the Disney app that was, like, plus another roughly $25 million.
Wow.
But still, okay, from what I was reading, it was, like, it wasn't that it was bad. It's just, like, I don't know. We're coming out of COVID. It was hard to gauge whether or not people would go to the theaters, or maybe yeah, open yet, and it was only available for streaming or something like that. And so it just didn't do as well as they had hoped. I didn't think, yeah, it, like, from a bad performance.
Yeah. I remember when it came out that a lot of people were, like, just upset about it in general and thought that there was no need to tell this story.
I don't remember hearing about people being upset. I thought it was good.
I'm sure you did, but I feel like all the reviews that I heard about at the time were all like, this movie is overhyped, like, it's got a cheesy Dalmatian, like, scene to explain why Cruella hates Dalmatians. Do you not remember that?
No, not really.
Oh, well, that's how I remember the time. And so, like, I'm not surprised, I guess, in my mind that this was considered a bit of a flop, but I think it was good, like I said.
I did too. It won a lot of awards, and most of the awards that it won were revolving around the costuming, and the costume director was Jenny Beaven.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even count up how many awards it won, but most of them, if not almost all, were for costuming.
Wow. And for good reason. Like, yeah, all of the outfits were incredible, especially the one she put Emma Stone in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Like, that red dress when she does the flash paper match scene to distract,
yeah,
the Baroness, and she, like, lights it on fire. Very almost Hunger Games-y.
Yeah, and it was a dress that the Baroness had created, like, I don't even know
how. Vintage.
Yeah. Dress that she found in that repurposed store.
An Artie's store. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that one was really good. My favorite dress was the garbage truck dress. It was so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it too.
According to Vulture.com, Emma Stone had 47 costume changes.
Wow.
And that's including the Cruella character and the Estella character. So yeah, combined, there was 47, but that's a lot.
Yeah, it feels like a lot. But this movie was also pretty long. I mean, it was 2 hours and change, right? So
yeah, it was long. But also, those are just the outfits that Emma Stone wore. That's, like, all the other outfits that they had, like, in the Baroness's, not store, her, like, workshop area. Like, I wonder how many total gowns they had.
Oh, probably a lot. Yeah. Like, probably a couple hundred, I would imagine.
Yeah. The movie was based on the Cruella de Vil character, which is from the children's book by Dodie Smith, The 101 Dalmatians. I didn't realize it was called The 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
I thought it was 101 Dalmatians.
I didn't either, but I don't know that I've ever heard Dodie Smith's name before. Like, I think I've always been vaguely aware that there's a book, but...
Yeah, I remember watching the animated movie when I was a kid a couple of times, but I mostly watched the 102 Dalmatians movie that had Glenn Close as Cruella de Vil, and it had, like, the bird and all of the little misfit dogs that were in the shelter. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that I watched the most, because we had it on VHS. I think...
Yeah, we did too.
We might have had 101 Dalmatians, the Glenn Close one, for that one too, but I don't remember it as well. I mostly remember 102 the most.
When, like, she, well, I mean, her little chihuahua in that is also absolutely, or whatever rat dog, yeah, that rat is, dog. Is incredible.
I forgot.
But we should watch maybe both of those movies and talk about it, because I remember it from the 102 Dalmatians. Well, I mean, that's the one where she gets baked in the cake, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, it's like so funny. She's going down this factory assembly line and all these dogs are like hitting all the buttons for her to get baked into this giant cake when she absolutely would not make it through that oven at all. But regardless, I just was going to say that I read a little bit on the Wikipedia page for the book, and its description is like not at all really that much like the adaptations that we know. When I Googled this story, this movie, one of the first articles that popped up was a Vanity Fair article. What's important is just that animators from the original Cruella for like the, of course, the animated feature film based some of her mannerisms and her like characteristic evil laugh, you know, on Tallulah Bankhead, who was just like this wild woman in the golden age of movies who just like slept with everybody and drank a lot and did a lot of cocaine and was just all over the place.
I just Googled Tallulah Bankhead because I don't know who that is. And the first thing that comes up is, who were Tallulah Bankhead's lovers?
Yeah, she had lots of them. She had a great life from the sound of it. She really lived it up.
Yeah, I've never heard of her. But that's interesting. I didn't know that.
No, and I bring it up because there is a Easter egg or whatever in this movie where at one point in time they show a little snippet of the feature film of Tallulah Bankhead's where she gives that laugh.
Oh, interesting.
But it's like a couple seconds, just like a little shot of it. But
yeah,
I read that on, I think like the wiki page or something for this. And I was like, oh, interesting. Tallulah. What a person. This feature film was directed by Craig Gillespie, who did I, Tonya as well. Did you see that one?
No.
Oh. Another classic, I would say.
Is that the one?
Pardon?
Is that the ice skating one?
Yeah, from the Olympic ice skater who was... Yes.
That's all I know about it.
You should watch it. It's pretty good.
Okay, I'll put it on my list.
And then it was, of course, written by Dana Fox, Tony McNamara, and Aileen Brosh McKenna?
That's how I would say it.
Yeah. A team of writers, if you will.
Yeah, and then Glenn Close was one of the executive producers, which I'm really glad that they included her in it. Like, maybe not in it, but, like, they wanted her input to the point that they made her an executive producer.
Yeah, I wonder if they ever briefly considered her for the role of the Baroness.
I wondered that, too. I thought that would have been really cool, but then again, like, almost would be like, okay, well, how does she turn out to be Cruella in 101 and 102 Dalmatians if she but I thought that too, like that would have been a cool nod to her.
Yeah but she did get to be a executive producer, so
yeah. And so I was trying to figure out at first what time period this was set in, and at one point Anita is typing on a typewriter, so I was like, all right, well, it's got to be like pre-computers. And when I was Googling it, it said it was set in the 70s punk rock evolution in London, which I'm there was a time of punk rock evolution.
Oh, well, we love to see the punk rockers coming out finally.
Yeah.
But that explains like that whole scene where she's doing her little like when she has the what feels like very impromptu show and she sings her song down the catwalk. Emma Stone, of course, Cruella.
Yeah.
Like, that definitely fits in with a punk rock.
Yeah, all of the outfits in that scene were what I would consider to be punk rock, which I guess is, like, leather and chains and, I don't know, just kind of...
Heavy eyeliner, yeah, hair sticking up.
Yeah, edgy stuff.
Yeah.
So, I only made note of Emma Stone and Emma Thompson in the cast, but you made note of the other people, which, sorry, I had never heard of before.
So have you not seen Game of Thrones or Our Flag Means Death?
No.
Okay. Well, those are both HBO shows, of course. And the guy who plays Jasper, Joel Fry, is in both of those shows. More notably in Our Flag Means Death. He plays Frenchie in it. He's so funny. I love him.
Yeah. I thought he looked familiar, but no, I haven't seen Game of Thrones either. But no, I don't know.
And then the other henchman, Horace, was played by Paul Walter Hauser, and he was in I, Tonya, which I already know you haven't seen, so.
Yeah.
And then the dog who played Wink, the Chihuahua with a little eye patch, her name is Bluebell. I just so cute. Give her a little nod. She did an incredible job. When they first, so I was, at one point in time, I was doing some dishes or I was baking, but I was watching this. And I just kept seeing this giant rat from afar. And I was like, what is going on? How did they train a rat to participate in this heist? But I love that it was Bluebell, or I guess Wink, doing his best.
So cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her other dog, Buddy, he was also pretty good at helping out with all of their thievery.
Yes. It's nice to have a good sidekick.
Yeah. My dogs do nothing all day. They just lay on the floor.
Same with Jose.
Good for nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I was watching it and I was like, oh my gosh, Jose could have been Wink. Only if he knew how to do some tricks.
If only he would like ever listen. We could get him in the biz probably if they ever need a really old Chihuahua.
Yeah. So one of the main things about, or the one of the key, I guess, traits of Cruella de Vil and also Estella is that she has half black and half white hair. And mm-hmm. I didn't really think anything of it, but there is an apparent disease that they gave her character called poliosis, which causes a decrease or an absence of melanin in the hair on the body, typically resulting in a white streak or splotches in someone's hair. But it's crazy that she would have been born like with a divide right down the middle of her head.
Yeah.
I never considered that it was a disease that made her hair half black and half white.
Yeah, I think that I always assumed she dyed it. And I think I assumed it was white. Because my favorite adaptations were the Glenn Close ones, it was not shocking to me for her to have like all white hair and then dye half of it black.
Yeah,
but older. Yeah, because she was older. And now that I'm saying that, I'm wondering how old Glenn Close actually was when she made that. Probably like 40 something.
Yeah.
She was born in 1947. Do you remember when 96?
I was gonna say early 2000s.
96.
50s.
So she was almost, she was 40. No, yeah, almost 50.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Okay. Well, still, I think in my mind I built her up to be like 70 and have all white hair. And it made total sense to me. But I prefer it this way, that she's always had hair like this.
Yeah.
And it was so sad for her to have to cover it up to blend in. But that's, it's so shocking that you would never forget seeing someone with hair like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It obviously, yeah, she wouldn't have been able to hide her undercover Cruella persona while she was working for the Baroness.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
What did you think of the big reveal, the big plot twist that Estella was the Baroness's daughter?
So I remember the first time watching it, at some point in the movie, I was like, what if it turns out the Baroness is actually her? Like, I figured it out, but it was kind of more just like a what if. That would be a crazy thing to happen. But I think it was... I don't remember when exactly I would have remembered that. I don't know. At what point did you figure it out?
When they said it.
Oh. When she unlocked the box and saw the birth certificate.
No, whenever the henchman of the Baroness, John, said that she was her daughter.
Well, yeah, but then he hands her the key and she opens the box.
Yeah, but it was when he said it, not when she opened the box and saw the birth certificate.
Okay, that was all in like 15 seconds, but anyway.
Anyway, not to squabble over that. I didn't see it coming, and I think that of all of the elements of this movie, the writing is the weakest point, and I don't know. I didn't love, I guess, everything that happened in this movie, and I feel like it could have been shorter. I just don't know what I would have kicked out.
Yeah, I mean, it all kind of seemed necessary, at least up until some point, because, like, she had to have the job at the department store to get in the front window, which to then get noticed by Baroness, and then to then get offered the job at Baroness's workshop. And so, like, it all had to happen, but yeah, it was long.
It felt very long.
Yeah.
I do think, like, it was shot very well. We've already said the costume design, great. Acting, great. I just think that of everything, the writing is probably the weakest point. And
oh, so one thing that I thought didn't quite make a whole lot of sense, kind of with the writing. So Estella's mom, quote, mom, her name was Helen, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too. So when they have to move to London because Estella gets withdrawn / expelled from school.
Uh-huh.
She's like, nope, I already withdrew her. I said it. So when they have to go start a new life in London, they stop at the Baroness's house, mm-hmm. Open hall, and ask to borrow some money. But wouldn't the Baroness have figured out that Estella wasn't dead after all, like she thought, if Helen is coming to ask for money for them to start a new life?
Unless Helen, because she like covered up Estella's hair and went in alone, maybe she was just gonna say, I need, and she was like, I guess trying to blackmail the just that she knew about the child. That kind of makes sense, but you're right.
Yeah, I didn't consider the blackmail part, but that could be. Maybe she just asked for money for herself or whatever. Maybe
yeah.
Had a long-standing friendship or relationship of some kind. And she thought he might loan her some money.
Well, I think that whenever Estella asked the Baroness if her mother had worked for her, and the Baroness says yes for a little bit, I'm wondering if she's underselling how long it was, and maybe Estella's adopted mom had essentially worked for the Baroness for a while, and you were close in some way, and then they fell out of favor and she found out about the secret and took the baby and just like left.
Yeah. And also the Baroness said something like the lady or the woman only had one job to raise one person and she didn't even do that well or something like that. So it sounds like she knew Helen was raising a child.
Hmm.
Remember that? Because she was like, she didn't even do a good job of that.
But then she did ask John if he took care of it, and yeah. She got mad at him that she was still alive, right? Or that yeah. Estella was still alive.
Yeah.
That
it's a little confusing.
I'm not sold on that one then.
Yeah. I forgot about the part where Baroness is talking to Estella in her room when she's about to take her 9-minute power nap. and she's like, you know, the lady was, I forget what she even said, something like, not a sorry sight, but like basically worthless. She only had to take care of one person, and maybe she was referring to herself.
Yeah, maybe she was like, she only had to deal with herself.
Yeah.
She couldn't even do that.
Yeah. But yeah, first of all, who takes a 9-minute power nap? If I could take a 9-minute power nap and feel rested, man, that would be amazing.
You could take over the world.
Yeah. And then to be interrupted in the middle of your 9-minute power nap, I'd have fired you immediately.
Yeah, I would be livid. I was like, this is my 9 minutes this day, please.
Yeah, this is all I get.
Yeah.
So I love a good heist scene.
Ugh.
I forgot that the first attempt to steal the necklace back didn't work because the Baroness was wearing it. Which I thought was kind of like a wrench thrown in the plan that I wasn't expecting. Obviously, it's been a while since I saw it, so I kind of forgot that happened. But I like that they went through the whole process of like the rat is exterminator and like trying to steal back the necklace. And then Estella gets up close to the Baroness and she realizes she's wearing it, but she has no way to tell the other two henchmen, all right, abort the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that happened. But I liked that they kind of put that twist on it where it wasn't just so easy to steal it back.
Yeah, they couldn't just waltz in there with a good story and a good way in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do love a good heist, so.
What was your favorite scene?
I think it was the original heist scene where he was Horace was attempting to portray as an exterminator and get in. Like, I think it was that scene.
And he says, don't turn around. Yeah. And then Wink attacks him.
It's, yeah, truly incredible acting on the part of both Wink and Horace.
Yeah. I think my favorite scene was when the moth eggs were destroying the gown collection.
Yeah.
That's the point when the Baroness figures out that Estella has a double life and that she's Cruella. Because you remember, like, earlier, Estella was like, I'm just waiting for the beads to put on the gown, just waiting for the beads, and she sews them all on. And then when they open the vault to, like, get ready for the, this, what was it, the spring collection, or...
Yeah, the fashion show.
Yeah, all of the outfits are destroyed by the moth, and you can see them hatching out of the, quote, beads.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. And that's when Baroness is like, oh, light bulb.
Things aren't always what they seem.
I should have counted how many times they said darling.
Both as part of Anita's name and in general.
Hmm?
Both as part of Anita Darling's name and just in general.
Oh, yeah. Just in general is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah,
but also, they always say Anita Darling.
Oh, her last name is Darling?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I am like 99% sure on that. Now I feel like I have to Google this just to be sure. It is. It is Anita Darling.
Oh, that's a nice last name.
Yes, incredible. She also did a good job. I wasn't expecting her to be, I guess, a childhood friend of Cruella's.
Yeah.
But that, I think, seems to be an element from the book based on the Wikipedia page, so.
Mm. Interesting. Did you see the credits scene when Cruella gifts Anita Perdita?
Yeah.
Gifts Roger Pongo, and we know that later they end up together.
Yeah, Pongo and Perdita.
Yeah. That was so cute. But yeah, I forgot that, like, Cruella and Anita being childhood friends, eventually, well, actually, okay, it's been a while since I saw the animated 101 Dalmatians. I don't remember if Anita and Cruella remain friends in the long run. I wanted to say no, but I don't know that for sure.
I don't think that they do. I think it's much more of a boss domineering over her worker situation.
Yeah.
I also haven't watched in a while, but now I really, really want to. So
yeah,
that's what this has brought me.
Yeah. So did you expect that the Baroness's assistant would be the one to save Cruella from the fire?
No, and I think that was maybe something about the writing that I thought I didn't really love. Like, it felt like a very undeveloped, I guess, plot point to me.
Yeah, I was trying, like, while that scene was going on, and it had the guy, or had the view sideways, so you're looking at the guy from the side, but you couldn't see who he was. I was like, wait a minute, what is happening? Who is this? I remembered that she got saved, but I thought it was the two henchmen that saved her, and that the dogs untied her, so I didn't remember the whole scene with the Baroness's assistant saving her from the fire, and then basically housing her after that. Yeah. But yeah, that, it seemed a little weird. I mean, I guess he had some compassion for her, because he was the one that had to get rid of her when she was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I would have liked it better if he ended up being her dad or something.
Oh, that would have been fun and fresh. And that's like why the Baroness had to get rid of Estella when she was a baby. Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. But we know he died, so that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only other note that I have is that I really felt a kindred spirit to Estella when she was trying to toss the trash bag into the dumpster and it broke.
Banana on her face.
Yeah. A banana that, like, stuck there for a while.
Yeah.
But I've just, there's this video of me trying to toss a trash bag into a giant dumpster. And let me tell you, it is a lot harder than it seems. And I do not feel like Estella is in the wrong in this situation.
I just would hate to get an entry-level position somewhere and then be stuck scrubbing a bathroom every day. And my boss being like, nope, not now, not now. All
day. Yeah.
To me, I'd have been like, all right, this isn't what I thought. I'm going to look for something else. But she's.
But it's her. It's her dream like workplace, you know?
Yeah.
So if she quits there, then what's she going to do if she reapplies later and they're like, didn't you used to work for us?
Well, she could have applied as Cruella.
I mean, yeah, but then she have to make up a whole bunch of stuff for that. You got to get yourself, like, paperwork, I assume.
Well, I don't know. They did forge an application for her.
That's true.
Yeah.
They are on the shadier side of legality anyway.
Yeah. I want to know how they lived in that warehouse for 10 plus years and never were evicted.
Yeah, I don't. Squatters' rights, baby.
Like, surely somebody owns that building and would be like, all right, I got to get these people out of here. They've obviously set up camp because they had, like, you know, furnishings and stuff like that.
Yeah. But maybe, yeah, nobody just wanted the warehouse at all. So they just abandoned it fully.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's to say? How do you, I don't think that I ever heard your opinion about the Dalmatian scene and that, like, them chasing and kicking her mom off the cliff is sort of the impetus for her scaredness or her, like her fear of Dalmatians later in life. How did you feel about the way that played out?
I mean, I guess it makes sense that, like, she thought that she was the one who killed her mom and that basically the dogs were just the ones that carried out the act, but they didn't really know any better. But then that it was the high-pitched dog whistle that the Baroness basically told them to sick her and, like, her off the edge. I don't know. I mean, I've always heard that Dalmatians are kind of feisty and, I don't know, kind of scary dogs anyway, if they're not trained well.
Mm-hmm.
Or that they can be very vicious.
Mm-hmm. But
it kind of makes sense that she had Dalmatians for her, like, protection, I guess. But I don't know. I mean, she also didn't kill the dogs to make a coat, which is in the later movies. That's her whole thing, is she wants to get enough puppies to make a coat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, why? I mean, I guess if you're going to do that later, you would think she'd have, like, done it in the past in this movie.
Yeah, we'd have. Yeah, because the Dalmatians did stay with the three of them for a while, which is, like, how she was able to command them later.
Mm-hmm.
But so I, like, to me, that sort of, like, negates a good chunk of the scaredness and any sort of animosity she might have had towards the Dalmatians, you know? Because I feel like if you live with a dog for that long, you're gonna like them eventually.
Yeah, and then the puppies that she gives to Anita and Roger.
Yeah.
Later in the other movies, they, like, the dogs turn on her. At least from what I remember in 102 Dalmatians, is that they... they turn on Cruella and they start barking at her and she locks them up or something like that. But, like, what turned in her to then later in life not like Dalmatians anymore and want to get them and turn them into a coat? I don't remember.
I think maybe we're just trying to put this movie into too much of a box, you know?
Yeah, probably so.
Trying to hold it to movies that were made without any sort of context for a prequel being made later.
Yeah.
But
I think they could have done a little more writing or a little more development on whether or not the Baroness knew that Helen was taking care of Estella or not. Because that seems fuzzy.
Yeah. And it was, the necklace was Estella's heirloom, right? Like, it belonged to her adopted mother and not the Baroness originally?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I say that is because that's why, like, Estella gets kind of upset whenever the Baroness says that someone, her old worker, had tried to steal it from her. But if that's the case, then why did it open a box that had all of, like, the secret documents in it? Why would the Baroness have that box with that as the key?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know then. Because she said that a former employee stole it from her. So maybe Helen did steal it at one point.
Yeah.
Maybe
Helen just lied whenever she said it was her family's heirloom.
Or maybe the Baroness's assistant who had to get rid of Cruella took it with the baby and gave the baby to Helen so that she would eventually have that key.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Wait, I my point mainly is that I don't love that we have to do this mental gymnastics, and I wish that, again, they'd written it a little bit more clearly, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any other thoughts you want to share about this?
I think that's it. Should we rate it out of 5 Dalmatians?
Sure. How many do you give it?
I'm going to give this one 4.4 Dalmatians.
Wow. High rating.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
I think this was the only one of the live action, not remakes, but the live action Disney movies that have come out recently that I've seen. I know I didn't see the Mulan one. I can't remember which other ones have. The Little Mermaid.
Beauty and the Beast.
Didn't see that one. Haven't seen Little Mermaid yet. But I like this one a lot.
Yeah, me too. I thought you were going to say it's the only live action Dalmatians movie you like, and I was about to be upset with you. But yeah, I think I've seen Beauty and the Beast. I've seen a couple of the other ones, but I did really enjoy this.
Yeah. I think I just really liked that they gave a villain a backstory.
Yeah. And I've always loved Cruella because I think at least before she got really crazy in the Glenn Close version, mm-hmm. like her bad traits were mostly that she was just like unmarried and childless and career oriented. And I was always just like, and she seems like she's doing a great job.
Like, and what's wrong with that?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's like, it feels before this movie, that was like her big villain story was that she like she was career oriented and childless and a little bit evil, but like mostly that was it.
Well, and stole dogs.
Okay, but that was later.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't find out about that until later.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And like the whole like last Siberian tiger and whatnot. There's a whole lot of stuff Cruella does mm-hmm. in those live action movies that is very concerning.
Yeah. But I also liked one other thing I liked about it was that Emma Stone's character, Estella, was always thinking one step ahead for mm-hmm. Cruella and against the Baroness. Like she was like when she sewed the moth eggs or whatever they were onto that gown, knowing that they would hatch within a certain time frame in the vault, and that like she also planned a fake break-in so that they would put the gowns in the vault and that the eggs would hatch and all the moths would eat everything. Like that takes a lot of planning to figure out how long it's going to be before these eggs hatch.
Yes, she is a genius.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff like that we see she was already thinking ahead.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're going to be a henchman, you have to kind of plan out your heists.
Yeah, you gotta be thinking ahead. The big boss has to be, and Estella was the big boss, so.
Yeah.
I think I'd give it like a solid, maybe like a 4.1.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it, again, as a prequel. But I do think that there was just some elements of the story that I'm just like, I feel like this could have been done better.
Mm-hmm. Darling. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I liked rewatching it too. Yeah. It was very long though.
2 hours and like 14 minutes or something.
Yeah.
We're making movies too long again. And I do think I was reading something today about people demanding intermissions in 3-hour movies now. And honestly, I'm on board. I think that once we hit a certain time on a movie, I'm ready for intermissions again.
I don't think I would go see a 3-hour long movie. That's just too much.
You'd think that, but then people go see the Marvel movies that are 3 hours long. Like, wasn't Infinity War super long?
Never saw it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you didn't, but everybody else did. 2.5 hours is so long.
I think the Mission Impossible movies were that long because I remember Adam saying that it was, like, too long.
Oh, man. I will, like, never understand those movies. I saw one of them. It might have been like 4 or something, one of the later ones. It's just like not that great. I don't get the hype around it. And Tom Cruise, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't go when they go see those.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Anyway, so as a reminder, what's our book this month?
Oh, our new book is A Flicker in the Dark by Stacey Willingham. And I did it again. I picked another author with a W last name.
My God, Annie, you did.
W-I-L, too.
What have you done?
We've had Charmaine Wilkerson, Kevin Wilson, Terry Wilson, Stacy Willingham.
Wow.
There's probably another one, too. I don't know.
There's something going on in your head. I don't know what it is just yet, but...
Yeah, when I was typing out my notes, I was like, oh my gosh, I do have a type. but yeah, so A Flicker in the Dark by Stacy Willingham. And then I am sorry that I procrastinated so long picking out a short story, but our next short story will be the last one for Val McDermid. And it's in the Stranded series, but it's also in another series that she published that's like Christmas related stories. Mm. And so you can find it in multiple places, but the story is called The Girl Who Killed Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that one will be good. You can also find an audio recording on Spotify if you look for it.
Ooh, okay.
I sent it to you.
I know.
Okay, I haven't listened to it yet, but it's a British, I think she's British lady who has a
podcast. Excellent.
She read it.
So. Excellent. We love to see this.
Yep. So yeah, The Girl Who Killed Santa Claus in Stranded by Val McDermid.
All right. So we'll see you for those.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at Marianne and Wanda Podcast @gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.